When the Buffalo News said they were producing a series of in-depth reports examining New York's portion of the Canadian-American border, it was no surprise two of its best-known bylines would be involved.
All right, Tim O'Shea, News Enterprise reporter, Buffalo News.
Derek G., I'm the chief photographer at the Buffalo News.
But a surprising third person also had a key role in this work.
Aaron Bowker, public affairs liaison for U.S. Customs and Border Protection's Buffalo Field Office. And I have never been told I'm quiet.
Aaron Bowker's presence and cooperation would give the Buffalo News extensive access to unique perspectives along the border. But what was in it for Customs and Border Protection?
Part of our job, part of my job as the public affairs liaison, is to make the public aware of what it is U.S. Customs and Border Protection does. We hear a lot about the local bridges here, but you don't necessarily hear about what happens in the North Country up towards Champlain, Rouse's Point, Alexandria Bay. The Buffalo News approached us, Tim approached us and said, hey, we were thinking about doing this story. And part of my job is to get on board with that and say, yeah, let's open the curtains a little bit and take a look at what we have. And this is a great avenue to do it.
And while a good deal of reporting does focus on the inner workings of the nearby bridges, the Buffalo News did spend considerable time in New York's North Country. It was there where Tim O'Shea and Derek G. spent time watching and waiting along Roxham Road, a New York State street which comes to an end at the Canadian border.
All you need to do is just sit there for 20 or 30 minutes, and 24/7, you're nearly guaranteed every half hour or so to see a taxi pull up, and people will step out of their taxi with everything they own in suitcases and cross over into Canada. And you know, that's an illegal entry into Canada, but they're using the system in place to cross into Canada, to leave the U.S., leave wherever they're coming from, to go claim political asylum in Canada. 50,000, close to 50,000 people have done that over the last 3 years.
On that road?
Going into Quebec, and most of it happens right on that road. It's so frequent that the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, have actually set up a shelter there where they process these people. They arrest them and then they send them into the Canadian immigration system where they claim political asylum. So a lot of people have called it the modern day Underground Railroad.
Derek, so you saw this happening?
It was pretty amazing to witness. You'd see the taxi cab pull up, and in some cases there's it's a border taxi, and this is what they advertise in the Plattsburgh area. They pick people up at the train stations and the airport, and I don't know how people find out about this, but there's a whole industry in the Plattsburgh area to sort of service this migration. And we watched as a family of, I think it was about six or seven, stepped out of a minivan, unloaded their suitcases. These are small children trying to carry their suitcases, you know, this sort of 15, 20 yards or so across the border. And you could see the fear and the uncertainty in the faces of the people. And this is a life or death situation for them.
I want to turn to Aaron then on this. So we just heard about these people that drive to the end of this road, get out of the cul-de-sac in the taxi, and they head over to Canada. What's the official position then from the border protection regarding these people?
For CBP, and specifically for me, for OFO, there isn't. It's northbound. We work closely with our Canadian counterparts. We work with RCMP, we work with the CBSA, and we there are things we can do as governments to try and find patterns, find things and why they're happening. But at the end of the day, there are certain laws in place for asylum seeking. You can't necessarily prevent someone from crossing the border there. That's why RCMP has set up a place to sort of take them in and process them that way. Similar to what I guess you would have seen in some of our instances on the southern border, with some of the facilities set up in order to process people on the southern border. We just don't have that volume coming in on the northern border, but for CBP to need something like that. But as far as northbound migration goes, for us, they're leaving the country.
Meanwhile, Buffalo News photographer Derek G. has been spending recent weeks sifting through thousands of images photographed along the New York-Canada border, in some places where few have ever tread.
Well, what I was looking forward to was really being able to trace the border in its entirety across New York State. Being in Buffalo, our vision of the border is a bridge going across the Niagara River. It gets a lot more complex than that when you get over to the eastern side of the state. There are large swaths of forest land. I was able to fly the drone over this area to sort of take a broad view of what the border looks like. It is amazing how remote it is in places. We encountered places where that was just thick forest. And you can actually see what they call the slash, which is a mowed area separating the two countries, where there is no port of entry, no fences, no markings. Now, that can be deceiving because we know from our interviews and from our reporting, the Border Patrol and Customs and Border Protection, they are watching and they are monitoring who is coming across.
How are you monitoring? What can you tell me about how you go about monitoring those areas, like Derek just mentioned, the areas of in essence, wilderness?
I can't give away all the secrets.
Sure.
But it is monitored, whether that, you know, involves foot patrols, car patrols, ATV patrols, a lot of technology at play that would let us know that someone's coming through an area that where they shouldn't be. I think a big piece to this is the outreach with the community. We have a huge border community liaison program with the public. And a lot of times you'll get tips from the public where there might be areas of concern that we can focus on because it is their community and they don't want that type of illegal activity, illegal crossing happening in their backyard. So they'll actually make phone calls. And that's not even a piece of technology. That's just a relationship.
Those relationships Aaron Bowker maintains are the key to border protection, whether it's the residents of rural northern New York or those who endure wait times at the bridges. He hopes travelers understand contraband, whether it's drugs or human trafficking, is constantly being stopped by border personnel. The Buffalo News Border Series, Tim O'Shea says, will look at several facets of the border relationship, from those wait times to the amount of information border personnel can glean from your driver's licenses to the big picture reality of the nearby border.
And then we are going to have a piece that looks at the U.S.-Canadian relationship. Perhaps the most consistent theme with everyone I've spoken to for this story is not how perfect the relationship is, but how strong the relationship is between the two countries. There's a lot of collaboration between law enforcement. Politically, it, of course, it goes up and down, but it still is a fairly strong, solid relationship that has a lot of benefits in trade and tourism, and the part we don't see, a lot of benefits in law enforcement and national security, too. So we're going to take a look at that to round out the series.